Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Show powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Let's get right to it. Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. Let's talk a little sports wagering. Todd, what about LSU running backs that like to slide down at the one-yard line? Did that affect anyone's money that weekend?
You know what? If you're going to let Arkansas hang around in a close football game, you don't deserve to ever cash a ticket anyways. But that was really the Todd Gurley tribute from an LSU running back. Just wanted to try and look up to some of his former Georgia brethren.
Isn't that funny, though? The coach was clearly trying to score another touchdown, but the player would not go in the end zone.
You know what? It's always good when we always talked about it, that we weren't sure how smart Coach O was in terms of doing math and trying to figure out some of the game situations. If the player wants to make the prudent decision there, I'm not going to fault him. But, hey, we know LSU isn't exactly the Harvard of Louisiana.
All right, Alabama favored by 51. We'll start with Don's game. I'm just kidding. I mean, 51 points, seriously?
Seriously, what's the biggest spread ever?
You're talking about numbers in the low 60s when we talk about some of these SEC cupcake weekend games that we've seen in the past. I want to say Alabama laid north of 60 within the last couple of seasons. So this is still a big number, but the real question here, and Don, hopefully when you have the intel, feel free to text me. When Tua is officially ruled out of this game and Alabama has to play their third-string quarterback, you don't want to get caught laying 50 in the spot. Citadel, not an FCS powerhouse by any stretch of the imagination, but this game is 41-3 written all over it. Alabama, very workmanlike, begins to focus on the Iron Bowl. I could never condone laying 50-plus in a game where you have to question one team's motivation and desire to be there.
All right, I am intrigued by this one. All right, Kentucky favored by 14 to start the week. It's gone up to 16. Middle Tennessee, a pretty good team. What do you think about this matchup?
They are, but here's the problem in this game. You're giving up so much with the Blue Raiders in the trenches that I don't think Kentucky will have to attempt a forward pass in this game, and they could probably run for 300 to 350 yards. Now, you wonder about Kentucky's level of focus. I mean, they were clearly flat last weekend against Tennessee in a game that they never got off the bus. And we talked about it on this show. They hadn't won there since 1984, and that losing streak is going to continue in Neyland Stadium going forward. Kentucky hasn't exactly been good as a favorite. This is a team 3-13 against the spread when they're laying points over their last 16 games, 6-14 against the number in their last 20 home games. But if they want to be there, the level of physicality, and trust me, Middle Tennessee State hasn't seen a disruptive force on the defensive side of the ball like Josh Allen they're going to see here. Brent Stock, still a very talented quarterback, might keep that back door open. But when you've given up 261 yards to Georgia, 272 yards to FAU, and 209 yards to the three best rushing attacks in the form of Marshall, Kentucky runs for 300-plus, and if they're focused, they cover this number.
Vanderbilt has to win out to get bowl eligible. What do you think about Ole Miss coming to Nashville, Vandy by 2.5?
I just don't feel comfortable laying points with the Commodores right now. They can play games close, but it wouldn't shock me if they win this game by a single point. At the same time, I actually made the number here a pick'em, so a little bit of value as the number shift towards 3 and trying to make a case for the Rebels. The real question here, which of these defenses will get a stop? I mean, Ole Miss giving up nearly 5 yards per carry and 285 yards per game through the air. Vanderbilt, they're not afraid to give up chunk yardage on the ground either. Ole Miss just kind of playing out this stretch, but I think they would relish the role of spoiler. For me, +3, I'll lean towards the Rebels here. I'm not sure Vanderbilt's season in a nutshell warrants them getting a 6-6 and being able to punch a ticket towards a bowl.
What do you think about UAB and Texas A&M?
This is a game, again, Mickey, where you have to question the motivation from an SEC team that's going to have a massive edge both on the offensive and defensive line. And while UAB deserves a ton of credit getting to their conference championship and compiling a 9-1 record, I implore any of the three of you to go through their resume and find me a quality win against anything close to the level of competition they're going to encounter in Texas A&M. Now, I know from a rush defense perspective, they're giving up less than 110 yards per game and only 3 yards per carry, but they haven't played a team that I would call having a pulse outside of the conference, a step up going to Kyle Field. And it was only a season ago we talked about UAB and everything going forward against a Florida team that was just playing out the stretch. UAB was absolutely embarrassed in that spot. I think we could see more of the same here for a team that's been undervalued by odds makers all season in Jimbo Fisher's first season.
Does Syracuse have anything at all for Notre Dame?
They have a dynamic, balanced offense under Eric Dungy's leadership that if they can get things going on the ground, they have a puncher's chance. Now, if you watch the line move here, it suggests that they may get blown out in Yankee Stadium. And I'm actually on board with the way this number is trending. I look at Notre Dame, and they don't get enough credit for how good they are on the defensive side of the ball this season. I think this would surprise a lot of people. They're number two in opposing quarterback passer rating behind only Michigan, and we know the heaps of praise that Michigan gets bestowed upon them. Notre Dame, 21st in the country in yards per game allowed, number nine in terms of yards per play on defense. And Ian Book, he just happened to lead the nation in completion percentage. It's a shade under 75 with six in passing efficiency going into last weekend's game that he sat out. And if Syracuse has any sort of misfires with how inefficient their offense has been, this thing snowballs. They say pressure burst pipes. I don't think it's happening in Yankee Stadium. Lay the points with the Irish.
What about Iowa State at Texas, Todd?
This is a game where I think we're seeing two teams trending in very different directions. And while Iowa State's going to go in without David Montgomery, their talented running back in the first half, suspended for, I guess we'll call it a brawl, but I'm not quite sure it was even that, last weekend against Baylor. This Texas defense is falling apart at the seams. The last three games they've played, they gave up 502 yards to Oklahoma State. They followed that up with a 578-yard defensive performance against West Virginia. And things got worse last weekend against Texas Tech. They gave up 595. So maybe this week they give up 600-plus. If they do that, they're not covering as a three-point favorite. Iowa State looks like a different football team with Brock Purdy, and Matt Campbell has brought a toughness here. It's not a coincidence that Iowa State, over the last 25 games in conference, 19-6 against the number, last 16 games on the road, 11-5 against the number, and the last 34 games overall, they have been lining people's wallets to the tune of a 24-10 against the spread record.
In the NFL, obviously, Titans fans keeping a close eye on the AFC South. Texans coming off a bye, get the Redskins this weekend.
In my opinion, two of the most fraudulent teams in the entire NFL. I mean, the Houston Texans have they've been one of the biggest beneficiaries of every close game going their way. And I'm not going to discount the fact that you start the season 0-3 and you rattle off a six-game win streak. But if you go through some of the improbable sequence of events that they've had work out in their favor, including clock management malfunctions for Vance Joseph. I think the Houston Texans are flirting with disaster. And when I look at their opponent, the Washington Redskins, the only team with a winning record that's averaged fewer points per game than these two fine juggernauts that we'll see meet in the nation's capital is Music City's very own Tennessee Titans. So when I look at this particular game, I'm in agreement with this line move. I think Washington very fortunate to even get a win against the Bucs. It's rare you can hold your opponent to 3 points and give up 500 yards in the process. I lean towards the Texans laying 2.5.
What about Tennessee and Indianapolis? Big game, Titans and Colts. Titans have won 2 in a row. Colts have won 3 in a row.
This game, one of the hardest for me to try and figure out because the point spread suggests that Indianapolis is going to be the side with books electing to use a full field goal here. Now, that number hasn't lasted. The general public has remembered the Titans' performance, pardon the bad movie pun there, over the last two games, Monday night against the Cowboys, and the way they followed it up in dominant fashion against the Patriots, and that number has come off of the three. But the Colts' offense showed me flashes of brilliance in the first half and then puttered in the second half when they held on for dear life against the Jags. Marcus Mariota and this Titans team has never beaten the Colts with Andrew Luck as a starting quarterback. Unfortunately, I think that trend continues. Tennessee falls to 5-5. But don't worry, if they lose this week in Indianapolis, they follow it up with a big Monday night win against the Texans next week.
Listen to you. All right, one more. Back in the SEC, Missouri at Tennessee. Missouri line up to 6.
And I'm actually on board here with the road favorite. I don't run to the window to trust a team as flaky as Missouri and Drew Locke's erratic passing performances. But this is a much different animal that they're going to face in Missouri than what Tennessee had coming into Neyland last weekend in a Kentucky team that was still licking its wounds from losing the SEC championship. Missouri much more balanced offensively, and the way that you can beat the Tigers is with a vertical passing game. Unfortunately for the Vols, that's not the strength of this football team. You can't run into the teeth of the defense. I would lean towards Missouri here. I just don't trust laying the points with Barry Odom and company on the road.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure.
Bet the Board podcast. Check him out at Todd Furman on Twitter. Good stuff. If you got a question about a game that we missed, hit him up.